back. Her legs begin to quiver. She's close. Come on, Anastasia, again, I growl, and by some miracle, her orgasm spirals through her body and into mine. Thank fuck. Wordlessly, I come, pouring myself into her. Sweet Lord. I collapse on top of her. That was exhausting. How nice was that? I hiss against her ear as I draw air into my lungs. As she lies flat on the bed, panting, I pull out of her and remove the wretched condom. I get off the bed and quickly get dressed. When I'm done, I reach down and unfasten my tie, freeing her. Turning over, she stretches her hands and fingers and readjusts her bra. Once I cover her with the comforter, I lie down beside her, propped up on my elbow. That was really nice, she says with a mischievous smile. There's that word again, I smirk at her. You don't like that word? No, it doesn't do it for me at all. Oh, I don't know. It seems to have a very beneficial effect on you. I'm a beneficial effect now, am I? Could you wound my ego any further, Miss Steele? I don't think there's anything wrong with your ego. Her frown is fleeting. You think? Dr. Flynn would have plenty to say about that. Why don't you like to be touched? She asks, her voice sweet and soft. I just don't. I kiss her forehead to distract her from this line of questioning. So that email was your idea of a joke. She gives me a coy look and an apologetic shrug. I see. So you are still considering my proposition. Your indecent proposal? Yes, I am. Well, thank fuck for that. Our deal is still in play. My relief is palpable. I can almost taste it. I have issues, though, she adds. I'd be disappointed if you didn't. I was going to email them to you, but you kind of interrupted me. Coitus interruptus. See, I knew you had a sense of humor somewhere in there. The light in her eyes dances with mirth. Only certain things are funny, Anastasia. I thought you were saying no, no discussion at all. I don't know yet. I haven't made up my mind. Will you collar me? Her question surprises me. You have been doing your research. I don't know, Anastasia. I've never collared anyone. Were you collared? She asks. Yes. By Mrs. Robinson? Mrs. Robinson? I laugh out loud. Anne Bancroft in The Graduate. I'll tell her you said that. She'll love it.
You still talk to her regularly?
Her voice is high-pitched with shock and indignation. Yes. Why is that such a big deal?
I see.
Now her voice is clipped. She's mad? Why? I don't understand.
So you have someone you can discuss your alternative lifestyle with, but I'm not allowed.
Her tone is petulant, but once again she's calling me out on my shit. I don't think I've ever thought about it like that. Mrs. Robinson is part of that lifestyle. I told you she's a good friend now. If you'd like, I can introduce you to one of my former subs. You could talk to her.
Is this your idea of a joke? She demands.
No, Anastasia. I'm surprised by her vehemence and shake my head to reinforce my denial. It's perfectly normal for a submissive to check with exes that their new dominant knows what he's doing.
No, I'll do this on my own, thank you very much.
She insists, and reaches for her comforter and quilt, pulling them up to her chin.
What? She's upset?
Anastasia, I didn't mean to offend you.
I'm not offended, I'm appalled.
Appalled?
I don't want to talk to one of your ex-girlfriends, slave, sub, whatever you call them.
Oh. Anastasia Steele, are you jealous? I sound bewildered, because I am.
She flushes beet red, and I know I've found the root of her problem. How the hell can she be jealous? Sweetheart, I had a life before you. A very active life. Are you staying? She snaps. What? Of course not. I have a breakfast meeting tomorrow at the Heathman. Besides, I told you I don't sleep with girlfriends, slaves, subs, or anyone. Friday and Saturday were exceptions. It won't happen again. She presses her lips together with her stubborn expression. Well, I'm tired now, she says. Fuck. Are you kicking me out? This is not how this is supposed to go.
Yes.
What the hell? Disarmed again by Miss Steele. Well, that's another first, I mutter. Kicked out. I can't believe it. So, nothing you want to discuss now, about the contract, I ask, as an excuse to prolong my stay.
No,
she grunts. Her petulance is irritating, and were she truly mine, it would not be tolerated. God, I'd like to give you a good hiding. You'd feel a lot better, and so would I tell her.
You can't say things like that. I haven't signed anything yet.
Her eyes flash with defiance. Oh, baby, I can say it. I just can't do it. Not until you let me. A man can dream, Anastasia. Wednesday? I still want this. Why, though, I don't know. She's so difficult. I give her a brief kiss.
Wednesday,
she agrees, and I'm relieved once again.
I'll see you out,
she adds, her tone softer.
If you give me a minute.
She pushes me off the bed and pulls on her t-shirt.
Please pass me my sweatpants,
she orders, pointing to them. Wow, Miss Steele can be a bossy little thing. Yes, ma'am, I quip, knowing that she won't get the reference. But she narrows her eyes. She knows I'm making fun of her, but she says nothing as she slips her pants on. Feeling a little bemused at the prospect of being tossed out onto the street, I follow her through the living room to the front door.
When was the last time this happened?
Never. She opens the door, but she's staring down at her hands.
What is going on here?
You okay? I ask, and brush her lower lip with my thumb. Perhaps she doesn't want me to go, or perhaps she can't wait for me to leave.
Yes,
she says, her tone soft and subdued. I'm not sure I believe her. Wednesday, I remind her. I'll see her then. Bending down, I kiss her, and she closes her eyes. And I don't want to go, not with her uncertainty on my mind. I hold her head and deepen the kiss, and she responds, surrendering her mouth to me. Oh, baby, don't give up on me. Give it a try. She grasps my arms, kissing me back, and I don't want to stop. She's intoxicating, and the darkness is quiet, calmed by the young woman in front of me. Reluctantly, I pull back and lean my forehead against hers. She's breathless, like me. Anastasia, what are you doing to me?
I could say the same to you,
she whispers. I know I have to leave. She has me in a tailspin, and I don't know why. I kiss her forehead and walk down the path toward the R8. She stands watching me from the doorway. She hasn't gone in. I smile, pleased that she's still watching as I climb into the car. When I look back, she's gone.
Shit, what just happened?
No wave goodbye? I start the car and begin the drive back to Portland, analyzing what's taken place between us. She emailed me. I went to her. We fucked. She threw me out before I was ready to leave. For the first time, well, maybe not the first time, I feel a little used for sex. It's a disturbing feeling that reminds me of my time with Elena. Hell. Miss Steele is topping from the bottom, and she doesn't even know it. And fool that I am, I'm letting her. I have to turn this around. This soft cell approach is messing with my head. But I want her. I need her to sign. Is it just the chase? Is that what's turning me on? Or is it her? Fuck, I don't know. But I hope to find out more on Wednesday. And on a positive note, that was one hell of a nice way to spend an evening. I smirk in the rearview mirror and pull into the garage at the hotel. When I'm back in my room, I sit down at my laptop. Focus on what you want, where you want to be. Isn't that what Flynn is always harassing me about, his solution-based shit? From Christian Gray. Subject, this evening. Date, May 23rd, 2011.
11:16 p.m.
To Anastasia Steele. Miss Steele, I look forward to receiving your notes on the contract. Until then, sleep well, baby. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. And I want to add, thank you for another diverting evening. But that seems a little over the top. Pushing my laptop aside because Anna will probably be asleep, I pick up the Detroit report and continue reading. Tuesday, May 24th, 2011. The thought of siting the electronics plant in Detroit is depressing. I loathe Detroit. It holds nothing but bad memories for me. Memories I do my damnedest to forget. They surface, mainly at night, to remind me of what I am and where I came from. But Michigan is offering excellent tax incentives. It's hard to ignore what they are proposing in this report. I toss it on the dining table and take a sip of my Sancerre. Shit. It's warm. It's late. I should sleep. As I stand and stretch, there's a ping on my computer. An email. It might be from Roz, so I have a quick look. It's from Anna. Why is she still awake? From Anastasia Steele. Subject, issues. Date, May 24th, 2011, 12:02 a.m. To Christian Gray. Dear Mr. Gray, here is my list of issues. I look forward to discussing them more fully at dinner on Wednesday. The numbers refer to clauses. She's referring to the clauses? Miss Steele has been thorough. I pull a copy up on my screen for my reference. Contract. Made this day, blank, of 2011. The commencement date. Between Mr. Christian Gray of 301 Escala, Seattle, Washington, 98889. The dominant. Miss Anastasia Steele of 1114 Southwest Green Street, Apartment 7, Haven Heights, Vancouver, Washington, 98888. The submissive. The parties agree as follows. 1. The following are the terms of a binding contract between the dominant and the submissive. Fundamental terms. 2. The fundamental purpose of this contract is to allow the submissive to explore her sensuality and her limits safely, with due respect and regard for her needs, her limits, and her well-being. 3. The dominant and the submissive agree and acknowledge that all that occurs under the terms of this contract will be consensual, confidential, and subject to the agreed limits and safety procedures set out in this contract. Additional limits and safety procedures may be agreed in writing. 4. The dominant and the submissive each warrant that they suffer from no sexual, serious, infectious, or life-threatening illnesses, including but not limited to HIV, herpes, and hepatitis. If during the term, as defined below, or any extended term of this contract, either party should be diagnosed with or become aware of any such illness, he or she undertakes to inform the other immediately, and in any event prior to any form of physical contact between the parties. 5. Adherence to the above warranties, agreements, and undertakings, and any additional limits and safety procedures agreed under Clause 3 above, are fundamental to this contract. Any breach shall render it void with immediate effect, and each party agrees to be fully responsible to the other for the consequence of any breach, 6. Everything in this contract must be read and interpreted in the light of the fundamental purpose and the fundamental terms set out in clauses 2-5 above. Roles. 7. The dominant shall take responsibility for the well-being and the proper training, guidance, and discipline of the submissive. He shall decide the nature of such training, guidance, and discipline, and the time and place of its administration, subject to the agreed terms, limitations, and safety procedures set out in this contract or agreed additionally under Clause 3 above. 8. If at any time the dominant should fail to keep to the agreed terms, limitations, and safety procedures set out in this contract or agreed additionally under Clause 3 above, the submissive is entitled to terminate this contract forthwith and to leave the service of the dominant without notice. 9. Subject to that proviso and to clauses 2-5 above, the submissive is to serve and obey the dominant in all things. Subject to the agreed terms, limitations, and safety procedures set out in this contract, or agreed additionally under clause 3 above, she shall without query or hesitation offer the dominant such pleasure as he may require, and she shall accept without query or hesitation his training, guidance, and discipline in whatever form it may take. Commencement and term. 10. The dominant and submissive enter into this contract on the commencement date fully aware of its nature and undertake to abide by its conditions without exception. 11. This contract shall be effective for a period of 3 calendar months from the commencement date, the term. On the expiry of the term, the parties shall discuss whether this contract and the arrangements they have made under this contract are satisfactory, and whether the needs of each party have been met. Either party may propose the extension of this contract subject to adjustments to its terms or to the arrangements they have made under it. In the absence of agreement to such extension, this contract shall terminate, and both parties shall be free to resume their lives separately. Availability. 12. The submissive will make herself available to the dominant from Friday evenings through to Sunday afternoons each week, during the term at times to be specified by the dominant. The allotted times. Further allocated time can be mutually agreed to on an ad hoc basis. 13. The dominant reserves the right to dismiss the submissive from his service at any time and for any reason. The submissive may request her release at any time, such request to be granted at the discretion of the dominant, subject only to the submissive's rights under clauses 2-5 and 8 above. Location. 14. The submissive will make herself available during the allotted times and agreed additional times at locations to be determined by the dominant. The dominant will ensure that all travel costs incurred by the submissive for that purpose are met by the dominant. Service provisions. 15. The following service provisions have been discussed and agreed and will be adhered to by both parties during the term. Both parties accept that certain matters may arise that are not covered by the terms of this contract or the service provisions, or that certain matters may be renegotiated. In such circumstances, further clauses may be proposed by way of amendment. Any further clauses or amendments must be agreed, documented, and signed by both parties, and shall be subject to the fundamental terms set out under clauses 2-5 above. Dominant. 15.1. The dominant shall make the submissive's health and safety a priority at all times. The dominant shall not at any time require, request, allow, or demand the submissive to participate at the hands of the dominant in the activities detailed in Appendix 2, or in any act that either party deems to be unsafe. The dominant will not undertake or permit to be undertaken any action which could cause serious injury or any risk to the submissive's life. The remaining subclauses of this clause 15 are to be read subject to this proviso and to the fundamental matters agreed in clauses 2-5 above. 15.2. The dominant accepts the submissive as his to own, control, dominate, and discipline during the term. The dominant may use the submissive's body at any time during the allotted times, or any agreed additional times in any manner he deems fit, sexually or otherwise. 15.3. The dominant shall provide the submissive with all necessary training and guidance in how to properly serve the dominant. 15.4. The dominant shall maintain a stable and safe environment in which the submissive may perform her duties in service of the dominant. 15.5. The dominant may discipline the submissive as necessary to ensure the submissive fully appreciates her role of subservience to the dominant and to discourage unacceptable conduct. The dominant may flog, spank, whip, or corporally punish the submissive as he sees fit, for purposes of discipline, for his own personal enjoyment, or for any other reason, which he is not obliged to provide. 15.6. In training and in the administration of discipline, the dominant shall ensure that no permanent marks are made upon the submissive's body, nor any injuries incurred that may require medical attention. 15.7. In training and in the administration of discipline, the dominant shall ensure that the discipline and the instruments used for the purposes of discipline are safe, shall not be used in such a way as to cause serious harm, and shall not in any way exceed the limits defined and detailed in this contract. 15.8. In case of illness or injury, the dominant shall care for the submissive, seeing to her health and safety, encouraging and, when necessary, ordering medical attention when it is judged necessary by the dominant. 15.9. The dominant shall maintain his own good health and seek medical attention when necessary in order to maintain a risk-free environment. 15.10. The dominant shall not loan his submissive to another dominant. 15.11. The dominant may restrain, handcuff, or bind the submissive at any time during the allotted times, or any agreed additional times for any reason, and for extended periods of time, giving due regard to the health and safety of the submissive. 15.12. The dominant will ensure that all equipment used for the purposes of training and discipline shall be maintained in a clean, hygienic, and safe state at all times. Submissive. 15.13. The submissive accepts the dominant as her master, with the understanding that she is now the property of the dominant, to be dealt with as the dominant pleases during the term generally, but specifically during the allotted times and any additional agreed allotted times. 15.14. The submissive shall obey the rules, set out in Appendix 1 to this agreement. 15.15. The submissive shall serve the dominant in any way the dominant sees fit, and shall endeavor to please the dominant at all times to the best of her ability. 15.16. The submissive shall take all measures necessary to maintain her good health, and shall request or seek medical attention whenever it is needed, keeping the dominant informed at all times of any health issues that may arise. 15.17. The submissive will ensure that she procures oral contraception and ensure that she takes it as and when prescribed to prevent any pregnancy. 15.18. The submissive shall accept without question any and all disciplinary actions deemed necessary by the dominant, and remember her status and role in regard to the dominant at all times. 15.19. The submissive shall not touch or pleasure herself sexually, without permission from the dominant. 15.20. The submissive shall submit to any sexual activity demanded by the dominant, and shall do so without hesitation or argument. 15.21. The submissive shall accept whippings, floggings, spankings, canings, paddlings, or any other discipline the dominant should decide to administer, without hesitation, inquiry, or complaint. 15.22. The submissive shall not look directly into the eyes of the dominant, except when specifically instructed to do so. The submissive shall keep her eyes cast down and maintain a quiet and respectful bearing in the presence of the dominant. 15.23. The submissive shall always conduct herself in a respectful manner to the dominant, and shall address him only as Sir, Mr. Gray, or such other title as the dominant may direct. 15.24. The submissive will not touch the dominant without his express permission to do so. Activities. 16. The submissive shall not participate in activities or any sexual acts that either party deems to be unsafe, or any activities detailed in Appendix 2. 17. The dominant and the submissive have discussed the activities set out in Appendix 3 and recorded in writing on Appendix 3 their agreement in respect of them. Safe words. 18. The dominant and the submissive recognize that the dominant may make demands of the submissive that cannot be met without incurring physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, or other harm at the time the demands are made to the submissive. In such circumstances related to this, the submissive may make use of a safe word, the safe words. Two safe words will be invoked depending on the severity of the demands. 19. The safe word yellow will be used to bring to the attention of the dominant that the submissive is close to her limit of endurance. 20. The safe word red will be used to bring to the attention of the dominant that the submissive cannot tolerate any further demands. When this word is said, the dominant's action will cease completely with immediate effect. Conclusion. 21. We, the undersigned, have read and understood fully the provisions of this contract. We freely accept the terms of this contract and have acknowledged this by our signatures below. The dominant, Christian Gray. Date. The submissive, Anastasia Steele. Date. Appendix 1. Rules. Obedience. The submissive will obey any instructions given by the dominant immediately without hesitation or reservation, and in an expeditious manner. The submissive will agree to any sexual activity deemed fit and pleasurable by the dominant, excepting those activities that are outlined in hard limits. Appendix 2. She will do so eagerly and without hesitation. Sleep. The submissive will ensure she achieves a minimum of 8 hours sleep a night when she is not with the dominant. Food. The submissive will eat regularly to maintain her health and well-being from a prescribed list of foods. Appendix 4. The submissive will not snack between meals, with the exception of fruit. Clothes. During the term, the submissive will wear clothing only approved by the dominant. The dominant will provide a clothing budget for the submissive, which the submissive shall utilize. The dominant shall accompany the submissive to purchase clothing on an ad hoc basis. If the dominant so requires, the submissive shall, during the term, wear adornments the dominant shall require, in the presence of the dominant, and at any other time the dominant deems fit. Exercise. The dominant shall provide the submissive with a personal trainer 4 times a week in hour-long sessions at times to be mutually agreed between the personal trainer and the submissive. The personal trainer will report to the dominant on the submissive's progress. Personal hygiene, beauty. The submissive will keep herself clean and shaved and/or waxed at all times. The submissive will visit a beauty salon of the dominant's choosing at times to be decided by the dominant, and undergo whatever treatments the dominant sees fit. All costs will be met by the dominant. Personal safety. The submissive will not drink to excess, smoke, take recreational drugs, or put herself in any unnecessary danger. Personal qualities. The submissive will not enter into any sexual relations with anyone other than the dominant. The submissive will conduct herself in a respectful and modest manner at all times. She must recognize that her behavior is a direct reflection on the dominant. She shall be held accountable for any misdeeds, wrongdoings, and misbehavior committed when not in the presence of the dominant. Failure to comply with any of the above will result in immediate punishment, the nature of which shall be determined by the dominant. Appendix 2. Hard limits. No acts involving fire play. No acts involving urination or defecation and the products thereof. No acts involving needles, knives, cutting, piercing, or blood. No acts involving gynecological medical instruments. No acts involving children or animals. No acts that will leave any permanent marks on the skin. No acts involving breath control. No activity that involves the direct contact of electric current, whether alternating or direct, fire, or flames to the body. Appendix 3. Soft Limits. To be discussed and agreed between both parties. Does the submissive consent to masturbation, cunnilingus, fellatio, swallowing semen, vaginal intercourse, vaginal fisting, anal intercourse, anal fisting? Does the submissive consent to the use of vibrators, butt plugs, dildos, other vaginal anal toys? Does the submissive consent to bondage with rope, bondage with leather cuffs, bondage with handcuffs, shackles, manacles, bondage with tape, bondage with other? Does the submissive consent to be restrained with hands bound in front, ankles bound, elbows bound, hands bound behind back, knees bound, wrists bound to ankles, binding to fixed items, furniture, etc., binding with spreader bar, suspension? Does the submissive consent to be blindfolded? Does the submissive consent to be gagged? How much pain is the submissive willing to experience? Where one is likes intensely and five is dislikes intensely. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does the submissive consent to accept the following forms of pain, punishment, discipline? Spanking, whipping, biting, genital clamps, hot wax, paddling, caning, nipple clamps, ice, other types, methods of pain. So, her points. 2. Not sure why this is solely for my benefit, i.e. to explore my sensuality and limits. I'm sure I wouldn't need a 10-page contract to do that. Surely this is for your benefit. Fair point well made, Miss Steele. 4. As you are aware, you are my only sexual partner. I don't take drugs, and I've not had any blood transfusions. I'm probably safe. What about you? Another fair point. And it dawns on me that this is the first time I haven't had to consider the sexual history of a partner. Well, that's one advantage of screwing a virgin. 8. I can terminate at any time if I don't think you're sticking to the agreed limits. Okay, I like this. I hope it won't come to that, but it wouldn't be the first time if it did. 9. Obey you in all things? Accept without hesitation your discipline? We need to talk about this. 11. 1 month trial period, not 3. Only a month? That's not long enough. How far can we go in a month? 12. I cannot commit every weekend. I do have a life, or will have. Perhaps 3 out of 4? And she'll have the opportunity to socialize with other men. She'll realize what she's missing. I'm not sure about this. 15.2. Using my body as you see fit, sexually or otherwise. Please define "or otherwise." 15.5. This whole discipline clause. I'm not sure I want to be whipped, flogged, or corporally punished. I am sure this would be in breach of clauses 2 to 5. And also for any other reason, that's just mean. And you told me you weren't a sadist. Shit. Read on, Gray. 15.10. Like loaning me out to someone else would ever be an option, but I'm glad it's here in black and white. 15.14. The rules. More on those later. 15.19. Touching myself without your permission? What's the problem with this? You know I don't do it anyway. 15.21. Discipline. Please see clause 15.5 above. 15.22. I can't look into your eyes? Why? 15.24. Why can't I touch you? Rules. Sleep, I'll agree to 6 hours. Food, I am not eating food from a prescribed list. The food list goes, or I do. Deal breaker. Well, this is going to be an issue. Clothes. As long as I only have to wear your clothes when I'm with you.
Okay.
Exercise. We agreed on 3 hours. This still says 4. Soft limits. Can we go through all of these? No fisting of any kind. What is suspension? Genital clamps. You have got to be kidding me. Can you please let me know the arrangements for Wednesday? I am working until 5 p.m. that day. Good night. Anna.
Her response is a relief. Miss Steele has put some thought into this, more so than anyone else I've dealt with over this contract. She's really engaged. She seems to be taking it seriously, and we'll have much to discuss on Wednesday. The uncertainty that I felt when leaving her apartment this evening recedes. There's hope for our relationship, but first, she needs to sleep. From Christian Gray. Subject, issues. Date, May 24th, 2011, 12:07 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. Miss Steele, that's a long list. Why are you still up? Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. A few minutes later, her answer is in my inbox. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, burning the midnight oil. Date, May 24th, 2011, 12:10 a.m. To Christian Gray.
Sir, if you recall, I was going through this list when I was distracted and bedded by a passing control freak. Good night, Anna.
Her email makes me laugh out loud, but it irritates me in equal measure. She's much more sassy in print, and she has a great sense of humor. But the woman needs sleep. From Christian Gray. Subject, stop burning the midnight oil. Date, May 24th, 2011, 12:12 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. Go to bed, Anastasia. Christian Gray, CEO and control freak, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. A few minutes pass, and once I'm convinced she's gone to bed, persuaded by my capital letters, I head into my bedroom. I take my laptop just in case she replies again. Once in bed, I grab my book and read. After half an hour, I give up. I can't concentrate. My mind keeps straying to Anna, how she was this evening, and her email. I need to remind her of what I expect from our relationship. I don't want her getting the wrong idea. I've strayed too far from my goal.
Are you going to come and help Anna with the move?
Kavanaugh's words remind me that unrealistic expectations have been set. Perhaps I could help them move? No, stop now, Gray. Opening my laptop, I read through her issues email again. I need to manage her expectations and try to find the right words to express how I feel. Finally, I'm inspired. From Christian Gray. Subject, your issues. Date, May 24th, 2011, 1:27 a.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, following my more thorough examination of your issues, may I bring to your attention the definition of submissive?
Submissive. Submissive. Adjective. 1. Inclined or ready to submit, unresistingly or humbly obedient, submissive servants. 2. Marked by or indicating submission, a submissive reply. Origin, 1580 to 90, submiss plus iv. Synonyms, 1. Tractable, compliant, pliant, amenable. 2. Passive, resigned, patient, docile, tame, subdued. Antonyms. 1. Rebellious, disobedient. Please bear this in mind for our meeting on Wednesday. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. That's it. I hope she'll find it amusing, but it gets my point across. With that thought, I switch off my bedside light and fall asleep and dream.
His name is Leliot. He's bigger than me.
He laughs and smiles and shouts and talks all the time. He talks all the time to Mommy and Daddy. He is my brother.
Why don't you talk?
Leliot says again and again and again. Are you stupid? Leliot says again and again and again. I jump on him and smack his face again and again and again. He cries. He cries a lot. I don't cry. I never cry. Mommy is angry with me. I have to sit on the bottom stair. I have to sit for the longest time. But Leliot never asks me why I don't talk ever again. If I make my hand into a fist, he runs away. Leliot is scared of me. He knows I'm a monster. When I return from my run the next morning, I check my email before having a shower. Nothing from Miss Steele, but then it's only 7:30. Maybe it's a little early. Gray, snap out of this. Get a grip. I glare at the gray-eyed prick who stares back at me from the mirror as I shave. No more. Forget about her for today. I have a job to do and a breakfast meeting to attend. Freddy was saying Barney may have a prototype of the tablet for you in a couple of days, Roz tells me during our video conference. I was studying the schematics yesterday. They were impressive, but I'm not sure we're there yet. If we get this right, there's no telling where the technology could go and what it could do in developing countries. Don't forget the home market, she interjects. As if. Christian, just how long are you going to be in Portland? Roz sounds exasperated. What's going on down there? Eyeing the webcam, she then peers hard at her screen, looking for clues in my expression. A merger. I try to hide my smile. Does Marco know? I snort. Marco Inglis is the head of my mergers and acquisitions division. No, it's not that kind of merger.
Oh.
Roz is silenced momentarily and, from her look, surprised. Yeah, it's private.
Well, I hope you're successful, she says, smirking.
Me too, I acknowledge with a smirk of my own. Now, can we talk about Woods? Over the past year, we've acquired 3 tech companies. 2 are booming, surpassing all targets, and 1 is struggling despite Marco's initial optimism. Lucas Woods heads it up. He's turned out to be an idiot. All show, no substance. The money has gone to his head, and he's lost focus and squandered the lead his company once had in fiber optics. My gut says assets strip the company, fire Woods, and merge their technology division into GEH. But Roz thinks Lucas needs more time, and that we need time to plan if we're going to liquidate and rebrand his company. If we do, it will involve expensive redundancies. I think Woods has had enough time to turn this around. He just won't accept reality, I say emphatically. We need him gone, and I'd like Marco to estimate the costs of liquidating. Marco wants to join us for this part of the call. I'll get him to log in. At 12:30 in the afternoon, Taylor drives me out to WSU in Vancouver for lunch with the president, the head of the Environmental Sciences Department, and the Vice President of Economic Development. As we approach the long driveway, I can't help looking out at all the students to see if I can spy Miss Steele. Alas, I don't see her. She's probably holed up in the library reading a classic. The thought of her curled up somewhere with a book is comforting. There has been no reply to my last email, but then she's been working. Perhaps there'll be something after lunch. As we pull up outside the administration building, my phone buzzes. It's Grace. She never calls during the week. Mom?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Fine. I'm about to go into a meeting.
Your PA said you were in Portland.
Her voice is full of hope. Damn, she thinks I'm with Anna. Yeah, on business.
How's Anastasia?
There it is.
Fine as far as I know, Grace. What do you want?
Oh, good Lord. My mother is someone else whose expectations I have to manage.
Mia's coming home a week early on Saturday. I'm on call that day, and your father is away at a legal conference presenting a panel on philanthropy and aid, she says.
You want me to meet her?
Will you?
Sure. Ask her to send me her flight details.
Thank you, darling. Say hi to Anastasia for me.
I have to go. Goodbye, Mom. I hang up before she can ask any more awkward questions. Taylor opens the car door. I should be out of here by 3.
Yes, Mr. Gray.
Will you be able to see your daughter tomorrow, Taylor?
Yes, sir.
His expression is warm and full of paternal pride.
Great. I'll be here at 3, he confirms.
I head into the university's administration building. This is going to be a long lunch. I have managed to keep Anastasia Steele out of every waking thought today. Almost. During lunch, there were times when I found myself imagining us in my playroom. What did she call it? The Red Room of Pain. I shake my head, smiling, and check my email. That woman has a way with words, but so far there are no words from her today. I change from my suit to my sweats to get ready for the hotel gym. As I'm about to leave my room, I hear a ping. It's her. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, my issues. What about your issues? Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:29 p.m. To Christian Gray.
Sir, please note the date of origin, 1580 to 90. I would respectfully remind sir that the year is 2011. We've come a long way since then. May I offer a definition for you to consider for our meeting? Compromise. Compromise. Noun. 1. A settlement of differences by mutual concessions. An agreement reached by adjustment of conflicting or opposing claims, principles, etc. By reciprocal modification of demands. 2. The result of such a settlement. 3. Something intermediate between different things. The split level is a compromise between a ranch house and a multi-storied house. 4. An endangering, especially of reputation. Exposure to danger, suspicion, etc. A compromise of one's integrity. Anna.
What a surprise. A provocative email from Miss Steele. But our meeting is still happening. Well, that's a relief. From Christian Gray. Subject, what about my issues? Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:32 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Good point, well made as ever, Miss Steele. I will collect you from your apartment at 7 o'clock tomorrow. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. My phone buzzes. It's Elliot.
Hey, hotshot, Kate's asked me to hassle you about the move.
The move?
Kate and Anna help moving, you dipshit.
I give him an exaggerated sigh. He really is a crude asshole.
I can't help. I'm meeting Mia at the airport.
What? Can't Mom do that, or Dad?
No, Mom called me this morning.
Then I guess that settles it. You never told me how you got on with Anna, did you?
Goodbye, Elliot.
I hang up. It's none of his business, and there's an email waiting for me. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, 2011. Women can drive. Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:40 p.m. To Christian Gray.
Sir, I have a car. I can drive. I would prefer to meet you somewhere. Where shall I meet you? At your hotel at 7 o'clock? Anna.
How irritating. I write back immediately. From Christian Gray. Subject, stubborn young women. Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:43 p.m. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, I refer to my email dated May 24th, 2011, sent at 1:27, and the definition contained therein. Do you ever think you'll be able to do what you're told? Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. Her response is slow, which does nothing for my mood. From Anastasia Steele, subject, Intractable Men. Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:49 p.m. To Christian Gray. Mr. Gray, I would like to drive. Please. Anna. Intractable? Me? Fuck. If our meeting goes as planned, her contrary behavior will be a thing of the past. With that in mind, I agree. From Christian Gray. Subject, Exasperated Men. Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:52 p.m. To Anastasia Steele. Fine. My hotel at 7 o'clock. I'll meet you in the Marble Bar. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, Not So Intractable Men. Date, May 24th, 2011, 6:55 p.m. To Christian Gray. Thank you. Anna, X. And I'm rewarded with a kiss. Ignoring how that makes me feel, I let her know that she's welcome. My mood has lifted as I head to the hotel gym. She sent me a kiss. Wednesday, May 25th, 2011. I order a glass of Sancerre and stand at the bar. I've been waiting for this moment all day and look repeatedly at my watch. This feels like a first date, and in a way, it is. I've never taken a prospect out to dinner. I've sat through interminable meetings today, bought a business, and fired three people. Nothing I've done today, including running twice and a quick circuit in the gym, has dispelled the anxiety I've wrestled with all day. That power is in the hands of Anastasia Steele. I want her submission. I hope she's not going to be late. I glance toward the entrance of the bar, and my mouth dries. She's standing on the threshold, and for a second I don't realize it's her. She looks exquisite. Her hair falls in soft waves to her breast on one side, and on the other it's pinned back so it's easier to see her delicate jawline and the gentle curve of her slender neck. She's wearing high heels and a tight dark purple dress that accentuates her lithe, alluring figure. Wow. I step forward to meet her. You look stunning, I whisper, and kiss her cheek. Closing my eyes, I savor her scent. She smells heavenly. A dress, Miss Steele. I approve. Diamonds in her ears would complete the ensemble. I must buy her a pair. Taking her hand, I lead her to a booth. What would you like to drink? I'm rewarded with a knowing smile as she sits down. I'll have what you're having, please. Ah, she's learning. Another glass of the Sancerre, I tell the waiter, and I slide into the booth opposite her. They have an excellent wine cellar here, I add, and take a moment to look at her. She's wearing a little makeup, not too much. And I remember when she first fell into my office how ordinary I thought she looked. She is anything but ordinary. With a little makeup and the right clothes, she's a goddess. She shifts in her seat and her eyelashes flutter. Are you nervous? I ask. Yes. This is it, Gray. Leaning forward in a candid whisper, I tell her that I'm nervous too. She looks at me as if I've grown three heads. Yeah, I'm human too, baby. Just. The waiter places Anna's wine and two small plates of mixed nuts and olives between us. Anna squares her shoulders, an indication that she means business, like she did when she first interviewed me. So, how are we going to do this? Run through my points one by one? She asks. Impatient as ever, Miss Steele.
Well, I could ask you what you thought of the weather today, she retorts.
Oh, that smart mouth. Let her stew for a moment, Gray. Keeping my eyes on hers, I pop an olive into my mouth and lick my index finger. Her eyes grow wider and darker. I thought the weather was particularly unexceptional today. I try for nonchalance.
Are you smirking at me, Mr. Gray?
I am, Miss Steele. She purses her lips to stifle her smile.
You know, this contract is legally unenforceable.
I am fully aware of that, Miss Steele.
Were you going to tell me that at any point?
What? I didn't think I'd have to. And you've worked it out for yourself. You'd think I'd coerce you into something you don't want to do, and then pretend that I have a legal hold over you?
Well, yes.
Whoa. You don't think very highly of me, do you?
You haven't answered my question.
Anastasia, it doesn't matter if it's legal or not. It represents an arrangement that I would like to make with you. What I would like from you, and what you can expect from me. If you don't like it, then don't sign. If you do sign and then decide you don't like it, there are enough get-out clauses so you can walk away. Even if it were legally binding, do you think I'd drag you through the courts if you did decide to run? What does she take me for? She considers me with her unfathomable blue eyes. What I need her to understand is that this contract isn't about the law. It's about trust. I want you to trust me, Anna. As she takes a sip of her wine, I rush on, endeavoring to explain. Relationships like this are built on honesty and trust. If you don't trust me to know how I'm affecting you, how far I can go with you, how far I can take you. If you can't be honest with me, then we really can't do this. She rubs her chin as she considers what I've said. So it's quite simple, Anastasia. Do you trust me or not? And if she thinks so little of me, then we shouldn't do this at all. My gut is nodding with tension.
Did you have similar discussions with, the 15?
No. Why is she going off on this tangent?
Why not?
She asks. Because they were all established submissives. They knew what they wanted out of a relationship with me, and generally what I expected. With them, it was just a question of fine-tuning the soft limits, details like that.
Is there a store you go to? Submissives are us?
She arches an eyebrow, and I laugh out loud. And like a magician's rabbit, the tension in my body disappears. Not exactly. My tone is wry.
Then how?
She's ever curious, but I don't want to talk about Elena again. Last time I mentioned her, Anna turned frosty. Is that what you want to discuss? Or shall we get down to the nitty-gritty? Your issues, as you say. She frowns. Are you hungry? I ask. She looks suspiciously at the olives.
No.
Have you eaten today? She hesitates. Shit.
No,
she says. I try not to let her admission anger me. You have to eat, Anastasia. We can eat down here or in my suite. Which would you prefer? She'll never go for this.
I think we should stay in public. On neutral ground.
As predicted, sensible Miss Steele. Do you think that would stop me? My voice is husky. She swallows.
I hope so.
Put the girl out of her misery, Gray. Come, I have a private dining room booked, no public. Rising, I hold out my hand to her. Will she take it? She looks from my face to my hand. Bring your wine, I order. And she picks up her glass and places her hand in mine. As we leave the bar, I notice admiring glances from other guests, and in the case of one handsome athletic guy, overt appreciation of my date. It's not something I've dealt with before, and I don't think I like it. Upstairs on the mezzanine, the liveried young host dispatched by the maitre d' leads us to the room I've booked.